I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Second time round, I didn't press the record button first time round, so here we go. I'm here with Matt Postlethwaite and Curtis Langdon. How are you, gents?
Good.
Good, thank you.
Right. Okay, completely on me, because I didn't press the record button, so I'll start off with the first question. Instead of you introducing yourself to me, why don't you tell me what you know about each other? I'll start with you, Matt.
Right, Curtis Langdon facts. Born and raised Weston-super-Mare. He was at Bath when he was 15 for a bit. Went to London Irish for 3 years. Went to Newcastle for a summer, came here, what is it, 4 years now?
Yeah,
4 years. Missy's got a job in S&C.
Didn't know that.
Burnley. No, it's a surprise. It's the first time I've ever heard that. Dad was in the Marines.
Yeah.
Just got a place with his missus in Monson. I reckon that's...
Yeah.
Decent chucker.
Good.
Of course.
And Curtis, what do you know about Matt?
Passes from Ilkley. He did a bit with Leeds when he was younger, when he was growing up, with that being his local club. Then he moved to Sale and he's been here since. He's living in Altrincham at the moment with his girlfriend. And he's a very good line-out option. He works hard around the park. Carries hard.
Let's go with this then. So, Matt, you've basically been here most of your professional career outside of a bit at Leeds, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you ever look at what Curtis has done and kind of wish that you had a bit more experience around different clubs and different environments?
I guess there's part of you that's like, you want to play at different clubs throughout your career a bit, but at the same time, like, for me, it's like, I've loved being at Sale, and like, being here for so long, it means that I'm comfortable here.
Yeah.
And it means that there's obviously pressure, but there's no like stress of like getting to know lads, learn all the new calls and that when you first come in. It's like, if I come into the first team from outside, it's like, bang, you're straight in, you know what you're doing, there's no messing about. So from that point of view, it's like, it's good, like, get on with all the coaches and that, it's just up to me to play rugby pretty much, and rugby is the only thing that I have to do. I don't have to do anything outside of that, learning extra stuff that I don't need to learn, because I already know it all. So from that point of view, it's like, it's probably easier just being at one club for me, I'd say.
And how about you, Curtis? Do you kind of like the fact that you've settled down a bit more here?
Yeah, definitely. Since I came to Sale, probably after my first season here, first couple of seasons here, it's by far been my favourite club that I've been at.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way the coaches are with the players. The team culture, the way the lads get along. It's not like other clubs I've been at.
Why? What's different?
I think just the way it's whether you're the best paid player, the lowest paid player, we're all on the same. We all treat each other the same.
Yeah.
Like
a hierarchy of some sort.
Yeah,
There's no segregation between the ACAD and the first team either.
So
you hear about other clubs where it's like the academy trains separate to the first team. Here it's like everyone's out on the same pitch. And even if you're not involved in that 30, you're still out there either watching or you're there doing skills and extras on the side. And you just swap straight in and out with the first team player.
Sale's a weird place in some ways because it's a smaller squad than most, but I think we probably have more bodies coming in and out of the training ground than almost any other club. If you think about all of the academy lads, and I mean, it's probably one of the biggest academies in the entire country.
Yeah, definitely. That wasn't the case either when I first joined with Poss. I think it was only me, him, and Conadiva my age, and like you see like the Curry's age group. Curry's were the only two from their age group, and now you see like last season we brought in like 5-6 players.
I think it was 10 lads a year after the Curry's one.
It's unbelievable.
10 lads. So we're definitely, more money's getting put into the academy, and I think it's better, especially for like the Jets fixtures as well. Now it's not so much bringing in lots of guest players.
Yeah,
like, don't get me wrong. In parts of the season with injuries, you're going to have to rely on guests a little bit. But this year, the squad's been mainly contracted players that train at Sale every day, which definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, I tell you, the other thing which you notice is, you come to the end of the season, you think, okay, well, we know who the lads are coming up, and then all of a sudden, you will open the paper or you'll read a match report, and you'll have a load of new names which you've not seen previously. So like Gus Wall burst onto the scene, must be like 12 months ago now. You've got Rafi Quek beneath him. James Williams is another guy who, until a few weeks ago, no one had heard of, but looks like he's got an incredibly bright future. The amount of lads that come through here is enormous.
I think that's, as a young player, like, that's the best thing about sales. Like, you can go elsewhere as a young player, and you might not be involved, or you won't see the first team squad until you're 23, 24. Whereas at Sale, it's like the majority of the lads will have had some sort of first team experience before their 20th birthday, because the size of the squad means that there's going to be a couple of injuries, you're going to get your shot.
Yeah.
And Dimes here has always been like priding himself on backing those younger players, and that's what's been like real good about being in this environment. That I personally thought, well, it's like second row when you're 18, it's like you might not play until you're
second 20. Row when you're 18 is like you, one hell of a call. Yeah. It's difficult.
You want to be, you obviously want to play in first team, but in the back of your mind, you know you ain't going to play until you're what, 23, like when you mature. But it's like, I look at like Ruben's second row, he made his debut at what, 19, 20 last year. Like, you're always going to get your chance, and it's just about taking that opportunity. And the lads that do go on and do real well.
I think as well, going on from that though, there'll be players that when they do get given their opportunity early, there are players that take it, and the teams that do that do like reap the rewards from doing that.
Yeah.
Like, look at the England team's just been named now. Like, there's boys in that team now that are young.
Yeah, those Saints. Yeah.
There'll be other players at other clubs that maybe still haven't got given their opportunity yet.
It's almost like a fear, isn't it, to trust lads who aren't names or who aren't proven yet. You've just said it there, Matt, like Furbank over at Northampton.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, obviously you take that risk, and it's sometimes it might not pay off, but at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. But if you do take that chance, you get someone like Furbank, you've got a cracking fullback there for seasons to come. It's like,
have you seen there's a lad been named England squad from Newcastle?
Hodge.
Yeah, like 19 or something in the Championship.
Yeah,
it's impressive. I think he had an impressive 20s World Cup. Speaking to some of the lads.
Yeah,
and he's an apprentice, isn't he? I think so.
Well, I'm not entirely too sure. I just know that he's there and it's impressive.
Yeah. I think that's what Eddie's trying to do now. I think the last couple of seasons he has named these apprentices in the side to try and develop them, get them in and around the squad, give them a taste. So then hopefully it shows them where they need to get to.
Yeah, I'm a little bit undecided on that actually, just on a more broader point here, which is like, I'm not sure if the England team should have apprentices, or should it just be like the best guys you can possibly pick today?
I think it is the best. I think it is. You've got these two, like when you see team named, it's apprentices at the bottom. It's kind of like, that's our best squad, and we've got these two that have been going well, the young lads. We want to show them what it's like in camp.
I think like the reasoning for it is that obviously, say in a few years' time, if they do get called up, it's not new to them, and there's not that shock of you're in an England camp, like, and you panic stations when you get there. And to me, it makes sense to do it, because then it's like boys can come in at an early age and still feel comfortable in that environment.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable, you're going to perform better.
I guess if you're using fullbacks and fly halves and whatnot, it's not too much of a big deal. There is more of a chance of them making it if they're good at 19 than, say, bringing up a 19-year-old prop or hooker or second row. You don't know how they're going to work out.
I should definitely do that.
Do you reckon? Okay, fine. I'll take that. So,
22-year-old hooker. 22-year-old hooker, 23-year-old lock. They're ready.
So you guys, I mean, you've been here 4 years, Matt. You've been here probably longer than that, actually.
Signed 5 years, and then I was in the under-18s for a year and a bit as well. So.
You've signed not a straight five-year stretch?
No. Signed separate contracts, but being here for 5 years.
Yeah. That's pretty much, if not before, it was certainly at the start of the whole revolution led by Simon and Jed. Oh, you coming in, John? No.
No, you're in there.
How things changed?
Yeah, definitely. Like, as owners, Cy and Jed are a lot more hands on than the owners when I was first. I think it was my first year.
Yeah.
Is it Brian McDermott? Is that right?
No, Brian McDermott was rugby league player.
Oh yeah.
Brian McDermott was the hard guy.
It was Rhinos, wasn't he?
Am I thinking Barry McDermott?
No, no. Brian McDermott was.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, because there was two of them, wasn't there? There was Kennedy.
Brian Kennedy.
Brian Kennedy. But you're all right. There's a second guy who was into mining, and I've always wanted to interview him, but. Yeah, no one really spoke about him. So yeah, it was Brian Kennedy.
Brian Kennedy, that's the one. I guess I was only in my first year, but I didn't really see an awful lot of him. Whereas these days, Si's always... I wasn't in the first team then, but Si's always in the changing rooms after a game. He's always involved, comes into meetings and stuff, has good crack with the lads and that. When we went away to the France, yeah, he was out on the social, mate. Good crack in that. But in terms of financial backing as well, you can see from the players who have come in recent years, obviously there's a lot more money coming into the club, and yeah. There's obviously a direction that we want it. Rather than it being the priority is staying up in the Premiership, the priority now is to be top four and win it within the next few years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, for us, like coming into that first team now, it's like that's the direction every rugby player wants to go. You want to be in a winning team, so it's exciting for us to be involved in that. I think that means for the academy lads as well, it makes you train harder, makes you play harder, because everybody wants to be in that winning team.
Yeah,
be a part of it. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you're a young scrum half, for example, I mean, it must be pretty cool to be able to train with Faf. And I just see the standard. Many people know what good looks like until you actually see it. I mean, you can imagine it, you can be told what it is, but until you actually see what something really good is, yeah. It's hard to quantify.
Yeah, it's a similar thing. Like, I got a bit of stick from my mates when they found out that Lude's coming, but like, I'm still only 23.
Yeah.
And it's like, Lude's a World Cup winning second row. It's like, I'll learn far more off him than I would had he not been here, and I'll be a better player.
Even if he just like sets the standard, okay, well, that's the standard that I need to be now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, in a couple of years' time, I will be a far better player having had him here, just because you learn so much off players like that.
Well, tell me this then. Unless I'm horribly wrong, and I'm not usually wrong, both you started this weekend.
Yeah.
Tough old game. I had the misfortune of watching it on TV.
Yeah.
Now, although it was the wrong sort of score, it must still be quite exciting for both you guys, because you're starting together. And even though we weren't looking like we were going to qualify from Europe, it's still a big game. It's still a big game, and there's still quite a lot of lessons to learn from it.
No, yeah, it was a big game at the weekend.
Just to put some colour on that, in case you're listening to this 3 months later, this is the Glasgow game, so yeah. Sale Glasgow.
Yeah, it was a big game at the weekend. Obviously, when we went to their place, that was a tough physical game, low-scoring game as well. I think we definitely wanted to get one back on them the weekend, just gone against Glasgow at home. Things didn't go our way. We tried to go at them and get points on the board. They're obviously trying to do the same. The ball was getting chucked about. It was a bit messy, especially at the start of the game. And I think there's parts of the game when we were on top of them. We were camped on that line for a while. I was getting penalties, kicking to the corner, setting up a driving maul. And fair play to them. Their defence held strong. And especially at the start, I think they capitalised on a few of our mistakes.
Mr. Briggs?
You recorded?
We are recording, yeah. We've just been joined by Neil Briggs.
How do
you? You alright, mate?
How do you? What are you doing with
I'll have to edit that out now.
Joking.
We're just having a little chat about their careers.
Joke.
It's a joke.
Huh? Fine, exactly. where were we?
We were talking about lessons learned from the Glasgow game.
Oh yeah, so yeah, we were both throwing it around quite a lot. I just felt like we didn't have the right sort of execution when we needed it, particularly close in. And maybe that's just an experience thing.
Yeah, to be fair, like you look at the squad they had, their pack was full of internationals, like practically half the Scotland squad in there, and we had a load of young English lads running out.
Yeah.
So for all of us young lads, it's a great experience. And yeah, it might. it's a tough scoreline to take, but we've also learnt a hell of a lot from it, and it's a great experience to have as a young lad, and it makes you want to play harder in those future games, and you know how to tackle those sort of those hard situations that you've been when you're under the sticks. And you know how to like look around at the boys and how to retaliate and go back at them, and what you do to solve those issues.
Yeah, you had a bit of a dust up, did you not, Matt?
No, he loves it.
It's just a bit of ambags, mate. It's just cheating, isn't it? The line out's putting wrong numbers in, so.
Was it really? Yeah. What are they doing?
Well, it's like we call five and they're putting six in, so you make the ref it.
And if they don't?
What if the ref doesn't ref it?
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that there's quite a lot recently of people doing the whole throwing scrum half at the front of the line out and then calling a six, or then calling.
Yeah, so we call it. oh shit!
Take that. You're gonna
send me that. I'm gonna
send that. Oh, yeah, that's good. So I've already called you.
Yeah, all right. So you can do a bit of editing there, John.
Yeah, I can put in two little bleeps. Yeah, well,
just give our calls away. Yeah, so we call it leads. yeah, it just means that we can have a plus one in there, so and then also the nine can get involved off the back of the mall or whatever you're going to play off it. Some people are questioning it, like, what's the point in doing it? But it just means, obviously, you can't have two nines, but you can still have the nine at the front of the line out and then have the plus one into the mall.
Yeah.
It's another way of getting around that.
So for you guys now, I mean, you are both players that don't necessarily start every week, but you do start your fair amount of games, or you're certainly involved in some way. How do you aim to make an impact?
Yeah, I think at the moment me and Poss not starting every week, but it's where we want to be. We want to be starting every week. So for me and Poss, when we do get our opportunities and when we do get a chance to play or to start, it's just making the most of every involvement we get.
Yeah,
and taking that opportunity. So then we can get to that point where we want to be, where we are starting every week.
It does feel like, particularly for yourself, Curtis, you've been given a great opportunity, because there's multiple ways of playing hookers, and we've got multiple types of hooker here, but you seem to be very, very good at coming off the bench and making a fairly large impact.
Yeah, I think when you're coming off the bench, whether you get 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or even 10 minutes, it's kind of just bringing energy to the game, trying to up the speed. And getting involved, really. You're playing against tired bodies, so there is opportunities around the park, and it's just trying to make the most of that.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly seem to have a fairly high work rate.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd
like to think so.
I'll take it. So just tell me a little bit about how you ended up at Sale Sharks, and because we've just gone over, you've been at London Irish, you've been at Bath, you've been at Newcastle. I mean, it's a fairly well travelled road.
Yeah, so as Paul said, from Western Supermare, so I grew up there with my family. When I was like 14, 15, I played Somerset County and then went on to play some representative stuff for Bath under 15s. Then when I finished school, I had the opportunity to move up to London and do what was called the ACE scheme, so like Myerscough College, London Irish. And I was part of what was called the Gold Group, like the under 18s. I did that for 2 years and then was given a contract, played England under 18s, played a year of under England under 20s, whilst I was Irish as well. And then at the end of that season, I went for pre-season. I was up at Newcastle training there, and then I had a phone call from Dimes, came down, met him here, and signed a deal then.
Why was it? I mean, seeing how you're playing now, I can't imagine why London Irish wouldn't have done everything that they could to keep hold of you. What was the reasoning for letting you go?
The reason was that
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It was a tough year that year at London Irish. I didn't get a chance to play. It was it was the World Cup year, so there was no LV Cup. There was, I think there was three, maybe four hookers. It was Tom Cruise, who's at Wasps now.
Of course.
Gerard Ellis, who's, I don't know where he is now. Jimmy Stevens and David Pace. So there's quite a lot of hookers. I didn't get much game time. Found a bit of game time in the back row and time on loan in National One. And then my under 20 stuff.
You're like a Cam Neill that can throw.
Anyway, I did that stuff.
I like that as well.
I did that stuff, and then came to the end of the year. Had my contract meeting. Was fairly confident, as you said. I thought I was playing well that year. There was a year Irish got relegated. They said their budgets had been cut for the academy. Mm-hmm. He didn't see me playing the following season because of the amount of hookers they had. So I was looking for another club.
It's a staggering decision. Oh well.
Oh, I'm happy where I am now.
Yeah, I
believe in everything happens for a reason. So
it's good. Briggsy, let's just bring you in a second here, because you know you're loitering in the corner. Why don't you give us a quick assessment of Curtis's game so far?
Right.
Just come closer. Just come closer.
Not part of it.
Speak up.
He's done all right.
Okay. What do you look for? Because obviously you've got an integral part at Sale Sharks now, and you are involved with the academy and then the development of talent.
Yeah, no, we look for lads that can step in and raise the intensity of the lads that are already playing. And Curtis and Poss have done really well of biding their time. And sometimes it's within the academy. It's about working away and not giving reasons not to pick you, if that makes sense. Because naturally, when you're coming through the academy, you're down near the bottom of a pecking order. Mm-hmm. And when things happen, as long as you keep performing and keep working hard and trying to bring that intensity through training so the first team coaches can see you, sometimes it's about waiting for your opportunity. And that comes through injury or people.
How do you get noticed in training? What would be your advice to some lads now? How do you stand out in the mind of the coaches?
It could be skill.
Mm-hmm.
It could be effort. It could be aggression.
Matt's gesturing now. I'm suggesting that the gesture was because you might agree with the aggression side, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a big part of rugby, isn't it? Like your physicality and your dominance. Say you're doing like mauls in forwards units and you're going through and messing up a first team line out as a young lad.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It's like you're doing something right, aren't you? And it's like a big tick under your name.
Mm.
Or say like you're in Curtis's position and as a young hooker you were throwing better, you were hitting the non-23 line out better than the first team hooker is throwing theirs.
Well,
again, that stands out, and the coaches are out there watching, they see it, it gets noticed.
What is the attitude here to that kind of behaviour? I don't mean that in a negative sense. Well, actually I could do, because you know, I've trained at various clubs, and when the first team are training, sometimes you're expected just to stand there and be reasonable opposition. Is that quite widely accepted here? If you decide to really compete, are they going to tell you to calm down or just let the boys get on with what they're doing?
I think a great example would be the Currys when they came out of college.
Yeah.
First year out of college, and they were just, you talk about physicality and aggression in training. Bringing that physicality shows that you're ready to play at this level. Being physical in training with Premiership players, there's no reason why you can't be physical playing in the Premiership at the weekend. And that's what the Currys were like. Every training session, they were getting over the ball. No one could move them. They were just going around noughts and everything, putting in shots, carrying hard. And I think as a young player, that's what you need to bring to training. You need to show that you're physically ready, and you need to show how much you want to play.
Yeah, one of the really interesting things that I saw maybe 12 months ago now when I was watching Sale train was the first team scrummaging, and then the academy lads would come in, and I don't know how much harder they were pushing or whatnot, but the big difference was just the intensity, just the noise. And I kind of wondered, I wonder if when you were younger you're just not maybe confident enough to just raise your voice a bit, talk a bit, let everyone else know that you know what you're doing.
I think this environment breeds the confidence within the young lads. I think it brings it out. And in terms of the way that the young lads act and can be aggressive and can challenge, you have to, it all has to be kept in contact and context. You can't just go out and try and smash people and disrupt the session.
Yeah.
Our job is to challenge the squad. So, and part of that challenging the squad is making sure that you put your hand up and you're in contention for selection every time as well. So that's what we talk about. We talk about, let's be challenging every time we go out on the training pitch. So if you're not in the team, you're challenging the people in your position, which is ultimately going to make them better.
I think
it makes the whole environment.
Like, as a player, you know when you can and can't. Like, we know what, like, if it's a team run on like Thursday or Friday, you're not going to start swinging, are you? You're not going to try to put shots in. But say it's like we've got an afternoon session Tuesday and there's a bit of contact in there, that's when you take your opportunity. Or forwards units on a Tuesday or a Wednesday morning, when you know it's going to be a bit alive, that's when you take, like, it's only going to be 10-15 minutes, but that's when you go for it. And that's when you put your, like, your stamp down and you show them what you're about. There's just a time and a place for it.
Now, I'm going to pull back the curtain a tiny bit here, but I've sort of seen what Briggsy's been up to, transition of getting lads from the academy into the first team. Obviously, you guys are first teamers now. Do you sit down with your coaches and do you have, like, a plan of where you want to be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? And do you always agree with those plans? Do you think they're too ambitious? Do you think that they're not ambitious enough?
Yeah, we do. We have meetings. They're called IDPs.
I've been joined by another.
Come on in.
What's it?
Get in, Jimmy.
Alright, James.
Hiya. Sit down. Right, James, we're gonna...
So I'll see where the toss is coming down.
Crikey. So we've now got young superstar James Williams.
Oh god, superstar.
How are you, mate? You okay?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
We didn't think that you'd be joining us.
Yeah, I heard someone told Sam I went home, but I think I've just been playing ping pong.
Well, you've always crack on with that. No question, just regarding your development and whatnot.
Yeah, so we call them IDP meetings. So individual development plan, I think IDP stands for. So we sit down with, let's say, Briggsy and other academy coaches, or Pete Anglesey might come in if you're a forward, or Westy might come in, and we make short-term and long-term goals. Try and make them, obviously, agree, we all have to agree on that they're achievable, and we put together a plan to achieve them goals throughout the season.
Now, do you think your goals are achievable, or do you think they've undersold you, oversold you?
I think they're always achievable, yeah, they have to be, and but obviously you want to push yourself as well. Yeah, so I might have, it might be a goal that might not seem achievable, but
yeah,
it is achievable. It just might take a bit longer than one of my short term goals.
And how about you, Poss?
In terms of what goals?
Yeah, as in, you know, feel the goals that you've been set up are achievable, or they're not achievable. In fact, maybe they've been set too low.
Yeah, I mean, it's short and long term. Like, you've got to be ambitious as a young player, aren't you? You've got to like strive to be the best. And like, in terms of short term, there's definitely like things you can work on from week to week, and we do in training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say the breakdown maybe wasn't as good 1 week, you'll focus on that, and you know after you've gone through your game with the coach that'll be like a focus on in your extras for that week, and then you'll take that into the game next week. With long term goals, yeah, some might say they're not achievable, but like say like, oh, I want to play for England in 3 years.
Yeah,
it's almost like if you don't want to play for England, what? Then
what are you doing?
What are you doing here?
Exactly.
It's one of those things. There's a saying, you know, which is, and I kind of don't know if I buy into it or not, but if you've got a goal, you should tell everyone, because once you tell everyone, you're then accountable to everyone.
I think Poss has just said it. As a young rugby player, your long term goal is always going to be to play for England, play for the Lions, and play at the top level of the sport. And then you have your short term goals of improving as a player to reach that end goal of playing it. The highest level.
Now I'm just gonna bring in Mr. Williams. By the way, congratulations! You've had a great. That's only 2 weeks, but it's actually is it not three starts now?
No, two, just two.
You've had Glasgow. You were starting at La Rochelle.
Yeah, so I started La Rochelle and Glasgow. So the last 2 weeks.
I look at the team sheets most weeks. You appeared out of nowhere. How are you finding things?
Yeah, good. Really, really enjoying it. I think initially when I came in, sort of. People keep saying sort of under the radar. So I think sort of pressure wise, I wasn't expecting too much this year. Maybe So I think it's been nice to have been given an opportunity to start.
Yeah.
I think when you come off the bench, maybe it's a bit harder because you're so keen to make an impact that maybe you don't sort of settle into the game. Whereas when you start, you can sort of just build throughout the game. So La Rochelle, I really enjoyed it. Just the whole occasion, playing in France, never played abroad before. Big crowd.
Is that the biggest crowd that you've played in front of?
Yeah, probably. So I remember there was a scrum down in like the bottom left hand corner. It was our ball as well, and the crowd was so loud. And Sam James, I was just like flipping out. I was like, this is a bit mental. I couldn't hear what anyone was saying. And then last week, I think, was probably the biggest learning curve out of both weekends.
Well, we just spoke about the Glasgow game, but do you want to just add a bit of colour to it, and like how playing the game? Why do you think there was such a difference between the two sides?
I think. Well, they obviously had everything to play for. I think the first, 5 minutes, I think they scored straight away. They could have taken points and they kicked to the corner. So I think they always wanted to get 5 points because that's the point coming down if they didn't.
Yeah.
And then I think for us, maybe, I think we did train well during the week. I think maybe just inexperience, maybe, as a bit sort of...
A lot of new combinations, to be fair.
And I think we sort of maybe expected to play well when... At that level, it doesn't just happen. I was speaking to Johnny Doherty yesterday, and he was saying now you know what it takes to perform, just have a good game. It takes quite a lot out of you, just to,
because
I don't know how to explain it, but
it wasn't just you with in your first few starts. You also had Tom Curtis. I know Tom's come off the bench, but it is a difficult ask.
Yeah, but I think we should have definitely played better, but pack wise. You could argue that could be a starting pack in the Premiership.
100%.
But then I just think the way they just physically dominated us, I think. When we had the ball, it felt like we were on the back foot.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those games, that's sort of 10 games worth of experience for me, and that, even though we got punts, it's just one of those.
So
obviously you've got to go for it, isn't it?
Watching you play, admittedly, I've only got a sample size of 2 games, but impressive stuff. Nice feet, can kick, so... very, very valuable for fantasy rugby. How do you go about bringing your skill set and then impressing that into the team when actually, I guess when you play, you'll be replacing Rohan, who in some ways is completely unreplaceable.
Yeah.
How do you go about trying to model that game to suit what you do rather than suit what he does?
That's a good question. I think it's important not to try and do what Rohan does. Because he's so effective at that, because he's a big boy, and that's his game, is to carry hard, and then sort of he can distribute as well. But whereas for me, I think I could bring the distribution side to things as well as sort of being able to carry.
Mm-hmm.
Just not trying to go away from what I'm good at. That makes sense. So. And if that works, it works.
Now, not to put you on the spot, and this isn't a trick question in any way, but if you were going to describe the kind of play you are, what you are good at, what would you say?
I would say I'm a stereotypically it would be a ball playing 12, but then I like the contact side of things, so I'm not scared to just try and just chuck it up the middle as well. So I think maybe at the start of the year I would have said I was sort of a 12 that can play 10, so that sort of full feral kind of 12. But now with these two games, I think I wasn't expecting to be able to get over the game line
really
against big lads. So I just thought I'd just get smashed 93 kilos against 120, thought I'd just get banged.
Do you ever feel like that when you first started making your senior debuts? Maybe physicality is just going to get a little bit too much.
I think not now. I'm not like that. I say my first few adult games out of under 18s rugby back when I was at London Irish. I remember playing in the 18s league, being able to run it straight and go through boys and make line breaks easy.
Yeah.
And then my first National One game, trying to do that at a big lock who's 30 years of age and getting drove back about 10 meters. I think that was probably one learning curve, and then you figure out other ways. Like James said,
might not be real heavy, but he's got really good late footwork,
yeah,
which allows him to get over the gain line. So working on stuff like that, and then just fighting contact as well, leg drive.
Boss?
No, I wouldn't say it was a surprise at all. It was like, before I made my first team debut, it was like, played plenty of senior rugby at Sale FC. It was like, you played against big lads before, and they're just as heavy and they can run just as hard. So for me, it was the physicality wasn't as much a step up, it was more just the pace.
Yeah.
So yeah, there wasn't really like a fear of getting absolutely whacked by big lads.
Yeah, I guess so, because all three of you played championship rugby.
Yeah.
Or senior rugby elsewhere, and there's other lads here who are, you know, make big names, and they've played no senior rugby whatsoever. They've just come straight to Sale.
Maybe even say, as a forward, championship rugby's pretty physical. There's some big old boys there, and it's a lot slower, and it is a lot of just lads tucking up their jumper, running straight. So it's pretty physical in the championship. But like Paul said, when you start playing in the Premiership, it's definitely quicker. Skill set's a lot higher. You have big boys like you do in the championship, but they can also throw a pass out the back and can also step off both feet. So it's definitely a step up.
Well, I'll end with this question. We'll go around clockwise. I'll answer clockwise. I don't really mind. Where do you think that this team will end up by the end of the season? Give me some bold predictions.
I honestly reckon top four. I know everyone says it.
What makes you think top four?
I think the squad that we like. Definitely the pack. Who Sale have recruited this year forward wise? Because rugby is a forward dominated game, obviously, like we saw last weekend. So I think once everyone's slotting in, and when we play well, like against Northampton, we absolutely dominated them, and they're third, second, third, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I think as long as we're just consistent, I think we can beat any team any weekend. And with Saracen sort of out the equation, I don't see why, you know, I don't know who else is better than us. So,
Poss?
100%, yeah, I'd say as a team we're going to be disappointed if we're not in the playoffs. Like, there's a lot of belief within the team, and that's where we want to go, and that's where we will go.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if we don't make top four. That's where we're going to go.
Curtis, I guess you better say top four, though.
Yeah, I was going to say top four. Definitely top four. I think, just to repeat what Jimmy said as well, I think on our day, we can beat any side in the comp, so it's just getting that consistency. We make the top four, and then anything can happen in the playoffs.
So, Briggsy's popped in here to tell me some secret information about the Saracens cap, which only he knows. So, Matt, James, Curtis, thank you very much, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Enjoy.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.